Man. Well, isn't that a great news? We will rise up. I was thinking about Jesus' wounds. You know, even in his resurrections, his wounds in his glorified state, post-resurrection, his wounds were still apparent. He invited Thomas to look at his hands and put his hand in his side where he had been speared. And I think about that you and I, in our glorified state, when Christ returns, we will see that he took the nails for us. And we are a blessed people, amen, because of that. And that is the true story of the world. And there's all kinds of different competing stories and ways in which help people make sense of their life. And whatever story you and I adopt in life, that's the story that we're going to live out. And if we don't know our story, we're not empowered to live and act in the ways that God has called us to. And so that's why we're doing this series of lessons. My microphone is on, correct? Can they hear me in the foyer? Can I get an amen out? I got a thumbs up. Very good. I understand last week we had some challenges. We were not able to get the lesson on the internet site, and I do apologize for that. I don't know if I failed to turn my microphone on or if it just sometimes technology just does that kind of stuff. But anyway, we're on, and we're out loud and proud. Amen? All right. We want to talk about today the true story of the world. We want to advance the story. We've talked about God's good creation, how he pronounced it good. Everything is blessed. It's a blessed God presence, God blessed, God with creation with Adam and Eve. What a glorious state they were. And then we read in Genesis chapter 3 through chapters 11 that we decided to put ourselves in place of God. Like we took him off the throne of his creation and we said, oh yeah, we can be like God. And we see in Genesis 3 through 11 the disastrous impact that occurs when humans, when people decide that God's not God, that they are God. In other words, whatever. Whatever is good for me is whatever I'm going to do. And when people live with that storyline in their life, they create all kinds of relationship struggles. They create all kinds of disharmony. And so what God does is he moves, he advances the story. God will not be defeated. His purposes will not be trumped by evil. God advances the story. He calls Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Whoever curses you, I'm going to curse. All peoples of the earth will be blessed with you. So here we go. God has a universal plan to bless all people. But he has a specific way that he's going to work that out. And therefore, God called Abraham and God calls Israel. Today, we're going to look at the movement of God as the people, the Israelites, go into Egypt, become enslaved, and God delivers them out of Egypt. We're going to cover about 700 years of history. Are y'all ready? And I got about 15 minutes. All right, here we go. All right, God says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. All peoples will be blessed through you. I want to ask all of us a question. What does it mean to be blessed? Like if you get that great job that you've always wanted, could you then say that I was blessed? If you were that quarterback on that championship team and they stick the microphone in front of you and they said, how did you do it? And you say, well, I was blessed by a great team of guys. We all worked hard together, and this is the result of it. Is that what blessing means? Or somebody might say, I'm blessed to have a lot of friends. Or some of you young people, you'll get that acceptance letter into that university that you want to go to, and you go, man, I am blessed today. Or maybe some of you that own businesses, your business goes into hyperdrive. And the money starts coming in and you think, wow, I'm really blessed. Or that investment portfolio of you begins to really advance and grow in the gains. And you think, whoa, I am blessed. When the Bible talks about being blessed, are these the kind of things that God is interested in? Could it be that most of the things that you and I call blessings are really another way of saying I'm fortunate? Some things have really worked out in the way that I had hoped. And you realize that most of us create our own fortune? Most of us create our... Now, hear me clearly. We have natural abilities, and if you'll use a little initiative, you can do some strategic planning, and with some hard work, it's amazing how lucky you might become. Amen, church family? Now, you are blessed in this sense from God. You are blessed with the abilities and the skill sets and the personality, and all of those things come to bear. If you'll just put that stuff to work, yeah, you could be blessed. And I'll call those blessings micro blessings. But you and I, church family, we don't need just micro blessings in our lives. Now, many of us will pursue life as though that's the only thing that's important. Is the micro blessings, but we need a macro blessing, because you and I have a macro problem. We have a problem that we created that is bigger than a solution that you and I can create. It's like this: you and I, outside of our relationship with Jesus Christ, where He has saved you, where you have called on His name, and you have been immersed into the waters of baptism, you've been filled with God's Spirit, God's holiness comes to reside in you. If you're not under that aspect of life, you have an outstanding warrant from God. What would it be like from an earthly standpoint to have an outstanding warrant on you? You know, what would you do? You see a cop when you're driving down the road, you're like, whoa, make sure I'm going speed limit here. I've done this before, but I don't have an outstanding warrant. You know, you get both hands, 10 and 12 right there. Oh, yeah, things good. Hey, there, you know, make sure if you're driving at nighttime, make sure you got your lights on. Make sure all your tail lights are working, both of them. You know, you put that cinder block on your brake pedal and walk out of your car and double check, you know, and then go get the cinder block. Or at least that's how I always check my brakes when I don't have my wife. So, you know, you live under the fear, you're living under the curse. If you're outside of Christ, you are under the curse that's been brought about because of sin and sin's fall. Scripture tells us in Galatians 3:13 through 14 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, you and I no longer have that outstanding warrant from God, because Jesus paid off the warrant. The Bible says, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The Scripture says He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, all peoples. Gentiles is everybody else but Jews, ethnically. Might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, God's presence in our lives. And so what you and I need is a macro blessing. We need to be saved. And in the sense of salvation, that is the ultimate blessing for our lives. We no longer live and move and have our being with the experience of fear, because we have harmony with God and we've got harmony with one another if we'll live out that relationship with God Almighty. And so Israel, the great nation that came from Abraham, was called to carry out this task of blessing all the nations. And it's a shame that Israel often missed this calling. Scripture says in Isaiah 49 verse 6, I'll make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring what? My salvation to the ends of the earth. You see, God wants to advance His story. He wants to bless all people. God doesn't call Abraham and He doesn't call Israel as a nation just so they can be special in and of themselves. God called them to a covenant relationship with Him so that through Abraham and his descendants, Israel, and ultimately through Christ, everyone would be blessed from God Almighty. And so what God does is God confirms a covenant. He makes a covenant. In Genesis chapter 15, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles there. Very important passage right here. Very important. Because sometimes, here's why this is important, church family. Some of us who are blessed fail to recognize that we are living in the blessing, because our circumstances currently seem to suggest that we're not that blessed. All right? And that will shape how we think, feel, and act in the present of our bad circumstances, failing to recognize that we are blessed. John, what in the world are you talking about? Let's go. Genesis 15, verse 12. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. A thick a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated." My Bible says 400 years. "But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You'll, however, go to your fathers in peace and be buried in a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." Okay, now where is God makes a covenant with Abraham, and everyone is going to be blessed. How's God going to bring about this blessing? Where are his descendants going to go? Church family, say it with me. They're all going to go down to, "Once there were three wandering Jews." Y'all remember that story, that song? And they all go down to, you know, the song goes Canaan's land. That is messed up. They go down to Egypt first. And then they're going to come up out of Egypt and into Canaan's land. They've got to go to Egypt. And God is going, they're going to be subjected to slavery and they're going to be mistreated. Now, that's pretty rough if you're one of those cats, amen? I mean, you've got a story going that God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so the story advances. And their descendants are going to become a great nation of people, the Israelites, but they're going to be enslaved and they're going to be blessed. How are they going to be a blessing to others if they have this horrendous circumstance that they currently find themselves in? And so what we're going to see is we're going to advance the story. Where are we going, church family? We're headed down to Egypt. How's God going to get his people there? That's the big question. So Abraham has a son. His son's name is? Oh, please, church family, come on. Abraham has a son. His name is Isaac. And we're not going to deal with Isaac's story. It's awesome. Isaac has a son, and his name is, well, he's got two boys, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's the younger. He gets the blessing, not Esau. Great story there. We're going over that. Okay, so we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob is an interesting character. He had two wives, Leah and Rachel. And one of the things that we understand in Scripture, while Scripture doesn't condemn polygamy in the Old Testament, we certainly see there's not a single story of polygamy that works out really, really well. And that's certainly true with the story of Jacob. He has two wives, Leah and Rachel, and Rachel is the one that he loves. They're sisters, by the way. Can you imagine the rivalry here? Leah and Rachel are sisters. All right, and Rachel is younger, Leah is older, and there's a great story of how this all occurred, which tells you again, do not get drunk, people, because bad things happen when you get a little wasted. And that happens in the story of Jacob. So anyway, he wakes up and finds out he's married the wrong woman, but it was the father-in-law's intention. Whole nother story there. All right, so we've got two ladies, Leah and Rachel. Rachel's the one that's loved very much, but she can't have any children at all. But Leah, she has children. She has Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, and a beautiful girl named Dinah. And then Jacob's other wife, Rachel, is going to have two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph is the one we're going to key in here for just a moment. Well, there were a couple of handmaids that belonged to these two sisters, and they forced Jacob to have children with them too. That's the story of Gad and Asher, Dan and Naphtali. Rachel finally is able to get children. The Lord opens up her womb. She's able to conceive. Joseph is the youngest boy. Joseph is the special one. He's the baby of the family. And because he was the son of Rachel, the one that Jacob loved with all of his heart, he got a little special treatment. He took his boys shopping for clothes at Neiman Marcus while taking Leah's boys to shop for their clothes at Walmart. or there's something about a richly ornamented robe or something like that. You know the story. Anyway, he gets the special treatment. And his brothers resent that. And he also is really good at tattling on his brothers, which will not endear you, which also suggests that the older brothers bullied the young boy quite a bit. And then there's this story where Joseph has these dreams. And one of the dreams is an agricultural dream. And there's these sheaves that was like stalks of grain piled up. And the stalks of grain were standing. There was one stalk of grain. And then there were several other sheaves of grain. And all these other sheaves of grain, 11 of them, by the way, all bow down to the one great sheaf of grain. And then he told him another dream that he had. He had a dream that there were these stars. There were 11 stars. And there was the sun and the moon. And they all bowed down. And the boys, the father says, are you suggesting that your mom and I and all your brothers are going to bow down to you? Well, anyway, do you see what's going on here? The older ones are going to bow down and serve the younger. Well, that might have been a great dream to have. It wasn't a great dream to share. It'll get you killed or sold as a slave. And that's exactly what happened. And so Joseph, as a boy, get this, as a boy, he is sold as a slave to some Ishmaelites, some Midianites, and they take him down to Egypt. And while he's in Egypt, he is purchased by a guy by the name of Potiphar, who is one of the leaders in Pharaoh's court. And he becomes a slave to Potiphar. And the Lord blesses Joseph, this son of Rachel, there, he's blessed over and over and over. Everything that he does, it prospers. And while he was there, and everything that Potiphar put Joseph in charge of, it just grew and it grew and it grew, and all of his business ventures had this great increase financially. And so Potiphar was glad to put him in charge of everything. Scripture tells us that the Lord was with him. The Bible also says something that I can relate to about Joseph, that he was well-built and handsome. Can I get an amen? Okay, maybe not. But he was a fine-looking young man. Not only was he skilled and wise, but he was pretty good-looking to the eyes as well, I guess. And no beer belly on this old boy. And Potiphar's wife takes notice of him. And she speaks. Ladies, do you not have any idea how powerful words are? It's amazing. You always wonder if there's a power imbalance. You know, the feminists believe there's a huge power imbalance in the world between men and women. I guess we could debate all of that. But I have noticed from Scripture that women's words are extremely powerful. Very, very powerful. And that can be in a good way and a bad way. Well, she basically said, hey, you want to go to bed? I don't think they were interested in sleeping. Joseph is living the true story of the world. And he says, kind of gets away. And this persists every time he comes into the house to work. She makes an advance to him. And he finally says, no. And she had grabbed him and was like, come to bed with me. I mean, that's a pretty driven woman, if you ask me. Come to bed with me. And he runs, and she grabs his garment, his cloak. And because she was humiliated by Joseph, she decided she would act out a little revenge on this boy. You're not going to humiliate me. You're not going to reject me. So she accuses him of rape. Boy, that doesn't sound like being blessed, does it? Hey, if being accused of rape is a part of the story of God blessing me, I don't want any of it. How about you? If being a slave in a foreign land is part of the experience of God blessing me, I don't want any of that. How about you? Do you see that you and I have such limited vision? And because of the present difficult circumstances in your life, you at times question whether or not God is truly with you. The Lord, Scripture says, was with Joseph. Well, when he was in jail, guess what? He does the same thing he always does. He uses his skill sets that God gave him, and he starts helping out the jailer. And the jailer realizes, hey, this guy can, he can put it together. He's great. This is a, we're gonna put him in charge of everything. So he puts him in charge of the whole jail. Everything Joseph does, he takes his God-given abilities and he uses those to a max to bless other people. And as a result, he continues the blessing, not the curse. You see, sometimes when we feel cursed, you know what we'll do? We will perpetuate the curse. But even in difficult circumstances, when it seems like the chips are all stacked up against us, if we know our story and we know we are blessed, there is a good chance we will not perpetuate the harm that's come our way and pass it on to another. But because we're blessed above our circumstances, we are empowered to pass on the blessing. And that's what Joseph does. You will not find bitterness in the story of Joseph. You will not find a desire for revenge. You know, here in America, we live with this concept of paybacks. Paybacks. I'll get you back, sucker. Right? I want my revenge. Joseph lives by a different storyline. Because he's been paid in advance by God and he knows the story that he's living out of his Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knows the story of God. He doesn't do paybacks. He does pay advances. He pays forward the blessings. Well, he also has, as we know, he has this ability to interpret dreams, and the story goes that he's in jail, and the big dog, king of Egypt, we'll call him Pharaoh, because that's what the Bible calls him, not the big dog. He has this dream. It's a really bizarre dream. There's these seven fat, sleek cows that are grazing along the Nile River, and all of a sudden, out of the river, I don't know if they were in scuba gear or not, but out of the river, there come seven skinny, gaudy, I don't know what that word means, but that's what the Bible calls it, skinny and gaudy cows, and they come up and eat the seven fat cows. It's a pretty bizarre dream, isn't it? And then there's this story where there's this head of grain. It's got seven lush, ripe heads of grain on this stalk, and then there's these seven scrawny heads of grain on the stalk, and the seven scrawny heads of grain eat. I didn't know heads of grain could eat, but in the dream they do. Dreams are amazing. And in this dream, it eats all the big, healthy wheat that's there. And Pharaoh didn't have anybody in his land that could interpret the dream. Someone had heard that there was a guy in jail that could interpret the dream. And so he's brought before Pharaoh, and he says, Pharaoh, I can interpret the dream, but I know the God who can. God can. And so he told him the dream, and Joseph considered it before God, and God revealed to Joseph the story. There was going to be seven great years of abundance followed by seven incredible years of famine. And Egypt had to get ready. And so the story goes that Joseph was put in charge of all of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, not only to preserve Egypt, but to preserve his own family that had sold him in slavery. And so guess what? Sooner or later, them old boys, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, Asher, Dan, Naphtali had to get something to eat. So they came down to Egypt to try to find some grain. Guess who's in charge? We should always treat others with love, not hate. You never know how it's going to come back around. And so they go down. The brothers go down, and y'all know the story. The story is told. Joseph makes himself known to his brothers, and his brothers are incredibly afraid of him. Scripture says that Joseph wept, and they were afraid. I can imagine why they were afraid. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and there's an incredible reconciliation, and Joseph sees his youngest brother for the first time, Benjamin. The other son from Rachel. And there is an incredible, glorious restoration of all that is good. Church family, I want to share something with you. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. The story goes that Jacob and all of his sons come down. There's 70 of them in all. When you consider all the relatives, the children, they all come down to Egypt. We've got them in Egypt. And look what Genesis 50 says. We may just go in Egypt today and save coming out of Egypt for next Sunday. Amen? I don't think we have enough time. Look what is said. Look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, which was Jacob, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" And so they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongdoings they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your fathers." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Church family, I'm going to stop right here in today's lesson with this thought. Do you remember how Genesis begins? God's glorious creation, Genesis 1 and 2. And then in Genesis 3. Do you remember what occurred? What the tempter, what the serpent said to the man and to the woman? You'll not die. God knows that when you eat of it, you'll be like him, knowing good and evil. You can decide for yourself what's right and what's wrong. And then we have this long, long story of people that decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong. And it's one disastrous human story after the next. And folks, that story, that aspect of the story still continues to this day. People are made slaves. People are treated horrendously. People are treated with justice. Rapes occur all the time in our society. People are using others and peddling drugs to enrich their pockets and destroying. The carnage is all around us here because people want to determine for themselves what is right and what is wrong. But Joseph lives a different story. Joseph says, "I could perpetuate the curse of Genesis 3 if I want to." But he doesn't. What does he say? Am I in the place of God? Rather than perpetuating a curse, what does Joseph do? Well, he's blessed. Can cursing and blessing reside in the same heart of someone? You and I are blessed to be a blessing. It's just that sometimes when God is getting us where he wants us to go so that he can providentially accomplish his purposes in our life, we're like on the path of Joseph here, but rather than blessing others, what do? We get so bitter. We get so angry. We get so frustrated. And what do? We put ourselves in the place of God. And what do? We perpetuate the curse, not the blessing. So I want to challenge you this week as you leave this place today. Church family, realize who you are. Realize your story. That God has blessed you. But the blessing is just like it wasn't just for Abraham. It wasn't just for the people of Israel. It wasn't just Joseph. It was for the purpose of blessing all people. So because you are blessed, church family, perpetuate that glorious thing, the blessing to others. Amen? Let's commit it to prayer. Y'all bow your heads with me. Almighty God, thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for the glorious truth of your word. Father, sometimes we don't always understand the struggles that we find ourselves in the midst of. But Lord, we recognize that you are greater still. And that if we could only be still and perpetuate blessing and not curse. Lord, help us to hear the words of Joseph, "Am I in the place of God?" And answer accordingly. In Jesus we pray, amen. If we can serve any of you this morning, it's always a joy to come and to feel the strength of this church family and the strength of God Almighty. That this is a glorious time in which we can pray for one another, minister to one another. If any of you have any needs that you want to bring before the Lord, we invite you forward. Please come while we stand.